with the changing institutions and the private that set up for 5 minutes having all that. The way about that confusion, I think it needs to be clear. What is that the Indian countries doing and what role is playing and that now, honorable members, I think all of you are welcome today, as well as our friends from the media and the guests that you have invited. And you have an open forum, a public forum, no suppression. Everybody here, I think, is protected. Whatever you say here, you can't be taken to court. You are highly protected. And therefore, we just need to open it, honorable members of the legacy. They invited me again, and you have an open forum to speak. And of course, but all what you must hear must be realistic, must be true, and then no misinterpretation that we'd like to hear. Because when we go, all of us, when we go out here, we would have been educated on how the Home Affairs fit in the acquisition of a critical field, and also we would be educated how the answer feature in and why it is not created. All that, so, honorable member, then I would be allowed to call upon the Indian country. That's a good question.
Yes, and I'm sorry, Kennedy, the portfolio committee on this administration was also invited to this meeting as a joint meeting with our case. We did have a meeting with the engineering institution last week, so I just want to make sure that that is still on, because it was confirmed with me later afternoon as well.
Yeah, I think that is correct. I think we did invite this what happened. Yes, I think we did invite the portfolio committee on what happened, I think. And then also the committee of Commerce Minister. Yes, and Commerce. Yes. And then also in public. We actually invited almost all the portfolio committees that deal with construction. You know, we did invite all of them. And of course, it's got to be expected that they will teach us. Chairperson Johnson, I think, confirmed to you that last week it was that it's continued, that it has continued. And I expected him to be here, but he ended this week and put a lot of activities for Jefferson. And maybe call up someone else, I don't know. But the aim was that to be sure that we really understand how the NDP features in our position of critical skill in relation to engineering. You remember that the company said we had this challenge and of confusion about the Cuban engineers and all that. And this needs to be put up on the table and how this is discussed in our economy so that we are able to form an appropriate environment and then even charge. But thank you very much for having us in and then you are welcome for the education. And also, as I said, the open public meeting to the fact members of Parliament. Advocate, you can see that on the chart.
Thank you, Jonathan, and colleagues. Let me preface my presentation by sending an apology for the civil rights officer of EFTA and Amazon from the PRH. He has been raving about this presentation coming from EGA for the whole last week. And only yesterday, mid-morning, he actually left work on a couple of steel health and later that I don't want to put off. what is not lost because I've been working very closely with the Department of Commerce on some of the issues related to the quality engineers that's working in the country and how we regulate and control that infrastructure. So I'm quite familiar with the issues. Hence, it was very easy for him to know who to come here to protest. The other thing I wanted to mention, Chairperson, is that there is a problem with the Shaka Council get an opportunity to come and have a conversation with the different portfolio committees relevant to our money. And whenever we get an opportunity like this, we see the people can to articulate what the role of the General Council is in relation to the coordination agenda in this country. So allow the minister to take a few slides, to take your colleagues and yourself through what it is that the General Council of Africa tries to do on a daily basis. And then we'll zoom into the issue. I apologize for the small point there, but I'm trying to summarize it. You would know that our institution enjoins all institutions of government recognize that every citizen is entitled to choose a free occupation, especially prison. And thereby also states that such free occupation or profession is a free occupation. It is in that context that we have for the South African Indian Council, which was established in 2000, established by the Act of 2000, but is not started in 2000. Like many professional social councils, the medical ones, the construction ones, this engineering professional council has been existing for many years, predating the prison in 1994. And naturally, as part of transforming this organization to this organization and to respond to the government agenda, a new act was passed in 2000. But the fact that it was passed in 2000 does not imply that this engineering company started in 2000. And I think that we use registration as a tool through which we regulate the engineering profession. Any professional engineer who's got fear and fear attention have been tested by their peers to be competent and to have the relevant qualifications to practice engineering in this country. I imagine, although we do other things in the engineering sector of the bank, the key thing that we do there is to register engineering professionals. Now, those four boxes there explain to you how we regulate the position. The set standards and procedures to say a university that offers an engineering program, a technical or industrial technology that offers an engineering program should adhere to the following standards. There are about 11 outcomes based, 11 specific level outcomes that are used at industry level, at technical level, and of course, in academic competency. Now, any university that offers an engineering program in this country has to be accredited by the Engineering Council. We have withdrawn accreditation of university programs because they do not meet the standards, the expected standards set down by the engineering council. But in most instances, universities strive to adhere to those standards in ensuring that whether a graduate comes from TUT or DUT or any institution, they can walk out there and be tested for competency and knowledge of engineering and be able to solve complex engineering problems based on the knowledge acquired in engineering. And of course, we register people, as I said earlier on. Once you are registered with us also, we regulate your conduct. We ask people that behave in a manner that is contrary to the code of conduct for registered persons. And of course, we also make sure that registered people are up to date. An engineer that graduated in 1992 has to be in touch with what's happening in 2015. And we've got a fully-fledged CPD unit there that monitors and affects the renewal of the situation hinges on your security data. Well, apart from the four boxes that I've mentioned, the other thing that we do, of course, is evaluate project qualifications. Any person that comes to South Africa and wants to be registered or to practice engineering here and once we register to the region, it comes automatically. They have to show us where they are living, so that we test the qualifications and determine whether they are sufficiently equivalent to either a BTEC degree, a PhD degree, or a diploma, national diploma, for you to become a technician. The issue of identification of engineering is a very vexing subject, as some of you may have heard or may have read, where we pass regulations that insist that for any engineer to be able to do certain work, they need to be registered in the engineering and also that. We call it the IDOEW. It's currently with the competition commission because they want to test whether it's uncompetitive to do so, and it has not amount to reservation of work. It's another discussion for another day, which is on its own complexities and controversies. Of course, we work with voluntary associations. As you know, there are many disciplines in engineering. You've got civil engineers, you've got chemical engineers, you've got mining engineers, you name them. So these different engineers per discipline have got their voluntary associations who look after their interests. These voluntary associations come to EFSA and ask EFSA to recognize them so that EFSA could exercise some of its mandates through them or through their assistants because they've got capacity, as most of their members, if not all, are registered engineers and so on. Of course, EFSA has got a very strong international footprint. It's a member of the International Engineering Alliance. And through the International Engineering Alliance and the signatory status for the different engineering categories, which is the technologists, the technicians, and the engineers themselves. Those are ability agreements which they show that for any other African engineer that wants to go and work overseas, you don't have to go through the requirements testing in those countries that are considered South Africa. Likewise, any country abroad that is a signatory to any of those accords, when it comes to South Africa, the mobility agreement entitles them to work in here and work in South Africa. Of course, not in Africa. South Africa is the only signatory to those agreements. That therefore means that any country in this continent that wants, whose engineers wants to come and work here, have to go through EFSA registration processes, including evaluating their qualifications. And of course, from time to time, we engage with the South Africa, either directly or through the Council for Business Environment on the issue of engineering. I am not sure whether it's very clear there, but if you can see the film there, there are world-class infrastructure that is a result of competent engineers. The one that is on is also true. In the absence of competent engineering professionals out there, you will find now the competency assessment that are done by EFSA is precisely to make sure that as South Africa, we are right there with the rest of the world in terms of world-class infrastructure. Culturally, as you see today, is the product of computer engineering work and all other processes that you see in the country. In South Africa, in terms of engineering professions, we've got the different categories. It's either you are a professional engineer, it's either you are a technician, it's either you are a technologist or a certificated engineer on the professional side. You've got candidates as well who can either be on the professional engineering side, technologists, certificate engineers, or engineering technicians. Technicians, as you know, are those that graduate from the technical law, the Ministry of Technology, and the National Diploma. Technologists, BTEC, engineers, BSc engineers, and then of course, certificated engineers are those that are BSc holders in engineering or BS, plus the government certificate in engineering, which is either the Department of Transport, the Department of Public Works, or the Department of Labor. And of course, we've got specified categories. We've got this inspector, this machinery inspector, medical equipment maintainer, and fire protection system inspector that are also inspected. All those form a basket of people that are under the purview of the engineering Council of South Africa. Of course, there are a lot of engineers out there, local and foreign, that are registered. What it means is that they have not been subjected to peer review by their peers in the engineering field, who check that they are competent in line with international standards. As a result, they are out there, and you can see the big story that we've had at Prasa of an unregistered technologist, engineering technologist. He is a technologist, he went to school, no doubt about it. As well as he was registered with us, as well as that was not the case. You can see all those calamities, construction and infrastructure calamities that could result in not being tested for competency. And it's not only competency, it's qualifications. It comes to change qualifications in our campus, and we don't want those qualifications to be evaluated as to whether they are substantially equivalent to certain qualifications. Then we result. Now, it is very important when it comes to the municipality of this, to say if a foreign engineer comes here, it's not registered with us, and this happens, we do not have records against them, because we only have records against registered engineers. Now, who are we going to go after? Because if you are registered with us, our code of conduct, and that is to go after any engineer who is come to a standard of own entity, which results in any of those events you see there. Currently in our country, because of our act, we can only register people who willingly come to us voluntarily and apply for registration. As a result, our research has shown that 52% of engineers that practice engineering in the country are unregistered. Most of them either are in government, in local government, in provincial government, even in national government. You've got a lot of engineering professionals who sit there, who work there, who are not registered with EXA. Well, the argument is that some of them are saying EXA, expecting 11 exit out, level outcomes are not transformational. They do not take into account the fact that not every engineer is an outside engineer. Those arguments are valid. But the fact of the matter is that as we sit here today, the majority of engineers in this country are not under the purview of the Engineering Professions Act. And therefore, not subject to the code of conduct. Should they receive not to apply for an engineering? Our mandate is to protect the lives of our citizens, to make sure that the buildings that they work in, the houses that they live in, the roads that they drive in, the bridges that they drive on, have been signed off by competent engineers. But unfortunately, in this country, as we speak, 52% of engineers are not registered. The CEO of EFSA and the current council is not the view that it would have taken in this country if it had not expand or creatively look at means of expanding the net of engineering professionals in this country so that we now have a green picture that this would be open. The reason why we got unregistered is because engineering is not well defined protected care. We were visited by the Nigerians about 6 months ago, we were visited by the Tanzanians about 3 months ago. In those countries, for you to use the term engineer, it protects it, you don't just use it. In South Africa, you consult engineers. Every company can have called themselves engineers. And yet, there are men and women who have gone to school and studied engineering at the highest level in this country. And yet, they are classified as engineers. And if such times that our act protects the term engineer, then we will never see an improvement in the serious with which engineers is taken. Of course, as I mentioned in my earlier remarks, professional registration is not compulsory in terms of the engineering campus. And that is a point. Employer bodies are not compelled to employ a registered engineer with us. But you have got a lot of employer bodies there, local employers. You've got a lot of foreign engineering firms here who bring their own engineers abroad. They come and do work here and go back because they are not compelled to employ a registered. The chairman was spot on earlier on when he said it's very important that we see this opportunity at EXA to explain to you what EXA does and what EXA does not do. EXA is not an employer of engineers. Yes, there are 2 engineers that work for EXA who are affiliated today, but they do not practice engineers today. They are there by virtue of other competencies to give support to campus. But EXA does not practice engineers or intervene in issues such as employment of engineers. When the Cuban engineers came at the first day, EXA was on the spotlight to make a pronouncement on whether the Cuban government was or not. And EXA came out very clear to say EXA does not delve into issues of employment as to who government employs or does not employ. Our duty is once an engineer is out there, that engineer must be competent to do work. And if they don't do work competently, we come after this. But it can only come after this if they are registered. Secondly, EXA does not influence areas of practice or direct engineers to a particular area of practice. It's very important that I like these things. That once EXA's role is played and it becomes a player in the field which is supposed to regulate, then the it is the value content that will file upon extra blend or control. So it's important that extra fix this money, which is originally the profession, to get one shock and to make sure that what happens in the profession will be on the ground. And of course, extra does not discriminate against any other organization. Some of the extra recognized VAs were out of line. They went out there and said that engineers that are foreign must go back. I say that extra should not register anything that our foreign said. That cannot be. I can report to you now that we got about 7,000. So 7%, which translates to about 3,300 engineers, foreign engineers, that are registered in South Africa. And the engineers have jobs. I can share with you that there are more than 3,000. The 3,000 I'm talking about is those that come directly from abroad or from outside the country. There are a lot of students that come from Zimbabwe, that come from Zambia, that come from many countries, that start engineering in the country, UCT and so on and so forth. And they don't leave. And they end up working here. So we've got actually more engineers working here, just that some of them are studying here. And EFSA does not discriminate against any engineer that's working in this country, whether they are foreign or not. It was unfortunate that the students were picked up on. I can confirm with you there are many, many foreign engineers that work here, over and above the students. And it was a fair to pick up on the students. Coming also to why we have been invited to come here, and like I just explained to you, we've got about 3,327 foreign engineers registered with us, and of those 1,600 are professional engineers, different categories and different disciplines. By categories, I mean, whenever I mean categories today for each of I mean whether you are a professional technician or professional technology, those are categories, or professional engineers. Disciplines meaning mechanical, civil, and so on and so forth. There are many foreign engineers that work in this country. Some are registered, some are registered. Some came directly from their countries to come and work here, but some came to study and ended up working here. There are multiple engineering consulting firms, some of them foreign owned, that are based in South Africa, that use local engineers, but also bring foreign engineers to come and do work in South Africa. And they employ South African foreign engineers. Foreign engineers by law require working visas. And there are two kinds of working visas that you are aware of. The critical skills visa and the tertiary visas. We only got to know about the tertiary visas in our first meeting with the Department of Home Affairs last year. And like I mentioned, there were concerns to discuss with the partners. We met twice so far. We released a statement last year in the aftermath, in June this year, in the aftermath of a furor about the Christian countries this year. Do we have this to say in the first statement? The question that was posed to EFSA is whether it was okay, but appropriate for foreign engineers to come and work here. And our answer, EFSA's mandate does not extend to issues around who and where engineers are employed and by whom. It has only concerned their registration in the country, determined by the scope of engineering where they have been contracted to come in another day. If required to take responsibility for engineering work and sign off on it, ESA expects every employer that brings an engineer here that they are competent and they have got the right obligations. And the only way of determining that is to come to ESA from the establishment. For as long as those people are here, then ESA can take steps against the children to be found to have failed in work machine. But if they are not registered, EFSA does not touch them. EFSA registration structure is two elements. We evaluate qualifications using the educational standards and we assess the individual's competence. And we went on in the confidence to say that in evaluating qualifications, we use it as a standard procedure, whether you are a foreigner or not a foreigner. Any qualification, even if it's a local qualification, we evaluate it because we have found that there are a lot of local people that take local qualifications. And we check them, even if you say I'm from UCT, we check. So it's not different. But of course, when you are sitting down to the European Commission and Technologies, the Senior Commission and Technicians, and Washington Accord, which is the professional engineer, you already have your 150 towards registration. We are not a significant to Washington Accord because we submit to American ideologies, no. And the USA, like many other countries in the world, are signatories to that Washington Accord, which is an educational accord recognizing South African politicians, in other words, the South African engineer can go and work in America and the Americans will not question him, where you come from. Or they can go to Russia, they can go to India, they can go to Australia, they can go to New Zealand, they can go to Peru, they can go to many countries. That's what it means. What it means, the significance is that it was signed in Washington, the Sydney Accord was signed by the signatures in Sydney, and the Dublin one was signed in Ireland. That's the only significance. So in assessing your qualifications, we check whether that is substantially equivalent to those ones. Automatic recognition of any engineering qualification obtained from any of the signatory countries that I've mentioned. Applicants with qualifications obtained from non-signatory countries. I told you earlier on that all African countries are not signatory. France is not signatory. Cuba is not signatory. Germany is not signatory. When a German engineer comes here and they want to register, British engineers here and they want to register, we subject them to the same treatment we subject in Zimbabwe. By the way, Zimbabwe, just most of you might know, has got the highest engineering qualifications in the continent, even better than the African qualifications. So by subjecting development qualifications to evaluation qualifications, it's not because you doubt it. Actually, the development that you see in South African universities are those that do not make the grade in their own university school and they have it. So it does not mean we discriminate against it. We just follow the policies to make sure that we do not have substandard qualifications coming to our country by people who fit qualifications. When applying for registration, whether you are local or foreign, you must demonstrate your experience in your chosen discipline. If you claim to be a functional engineer, you come before your peers appointed by ESA and they grill you to check whether indeed you can solve complex engineering problems related to your diploma. If you claim to have a diploma, your degree or your degree takes half the experience you've gained, minimum of 3 years experience you've gained. The country of origin is irrelevant to us. Whether you come from Lesotho, whether you come from South Africa, you are subjected to by the engineering customers. So it is normal that foreigners are picked upon when they apply for registration. We would not be having 3,000 of them registered with us. On the 3rd of the 6th month, the Department of Home Affairs published a groundbreaking comment that says 3766, which actually enjoins any foreign engineer that wants to work here to go to EXA and ask for a layout endorsement. EXA to provide them with endorsement, two requirements must be met. One, you must show that you've got the field level qualifications that are appropriate and as well as appropriate post-qualification experience. In other words, you must show us that you've got the skills, all the qualifications and appropriate post-qualification experience. As we said in EXA, we have finished the 3 years post-qualification experience. Secondly, you must prove that you've applied for registration. In a way, the Department of Home Affairs is forcing all people that want to work as engineers here to register with us so that we can apply our code of conduct to them. I can tell you that it was not well received by a lot of foreign applicants to a point that the President of Obama has advocated the village manager and the chief and his team. Every time they receive an application for critical skills, they come to EXA to verify whether a letter that they submitted comes from EXA. 9 out of 10 times, those letters are fraudulent. And most of them come from West Africa. We are inundated with complaints because these foreign applicants come to South Africa before they apply. They are already in the country and they want to accept the receiving of their thing. And registration for any person takes anything between 3 to 6 weeks. Three months to 6 months. And if you come here and you want us to accept your application and say you should put you in front of the truth and facts for the many other people. That is what they end up resorting to cheating and forging. The President of Home Affairs, we want to thank them that every time they want to issue a skills visa, they are captured and done out of 10 times, they're fraudulent. We listened to the communication manager and asked him to give us a database of all critical skills visa that have been issued since the regulation came into effect last year. Because we want to double check whether those, because the Department of Home Affairs will never issue a critical skills visa unless it's a letter from X. Now we need to check whether those that they claim to have received letters from us, forging my signature, forging signatures of the CEO and other people claiming to be registered with X or fraudulent certificates are in between, so that the necessary criminal action can happen. We would like to keep to you, Chairman, that it's not safe to have a conversation with the Minister of Police, because they do not prioritize fraudulent claims that we report as extra of people that report to register. And they are out there with fraudulent schemes doing projects in the name of extra. And the rights of our people in the infrastructure project that we see are in question. Whenever we report cases with the South African police, they are never prioritized. And I think high chance that we need to encourage this police. And like I said, we met on the 8th month last year, and we met on the 19th of the 2nd month yesterday with the Department of Home Affairs. It's only through partnership with the Department of Home Affairs that we can educate people that we ask to get visas in this country for you. Now, the implication is that when you apply for a critical fuel visa, unlike in the past where ESTA will not take proof, they have applied for registration, issue an ESTA. Now, application for registration is not proof enough, you must be registered. So, we have, the regulations are stricter in this case, and the requirements are fairly straightforward, and if you don't meet them, you don't issue the letter. It is for clear the representational implications for ESTA. Because not only are people quoting ESTA certificates, but also people are saying ESTA is a gatekeeper. Doesn't want foreign engineers to work here. And the misunderstanding is that you can work here. We have registered foreign engineers, but they need to go through the rigorous registration process. The Department of Home Affairs told us about the treaty visa, and I think that's where the problem is, which I think we need to currently have a conversation about. When our government undertakes this at the different countries abroad, and treaties are entered into, most of the foreign engineers that you see in our country are as a result of those treaties. The Department of Home Affairs calls them treaty visas. A treaty visa, we don't know what the requirements are for any country to receive treaty visas, but the treaty visa can substitute a critical fuel visa for all different people. And the Department of Home Affairs, although they do not have the details in their hand, they said there is a likelihood that some of the foreign engineers we see in our country and that are still coming are as a result of the treaty visa. I can share with you that the Department of Health is in the process of bringing health technologies to this country to work in hospitals. But because of the law surrounding the treated engineers, as I speak to you now, they are meeting with my engineering registration managers back in EXA. The meeting started now at 10 because they want to add EXA. Those guys are not here yet. What do we do before we come here? And we are very clear in EXA as to how we are going to manage them. Before they even come here, we send them the forms, although they are on our website, but to make it easier, we dispatch to them the forms so that they fill in their qualifications so that we can evaluate their qualifications even before they come. And once they are accepted, which will affect, then the registration forms will be completed. Their registration and competencies accessed before they even come here. Then only once they are registered, they will be exiled. Could they be protected? We wish all government departments that the foreign engineers could follow the example of the Department of Health. But it's not always the case. I can confirm that the British government is not concerned with us in the same way. It's not necessarily like your own, because they may have bring the cost them here. So we have seen that we don't know that. But the fact of the matter is that people make that there is a speed of one voice, being excellent government, as to how we put the foreign engineers in the country. We do not have details how who is on treaty visa, who is an engineer here, and how they can not have the information. But we have a constant Department of Home Affairs of all the records of the people that are on critical skills visa. And I'm actually thinking that we should actually ask for all of the engineers that are away, who are here on the basis of treaty visa, so that we can share this information not only with you, but with other stakeholders of ours. And once we receive the data, we'll compare and see who's here and who's not here. What we have, what we don't have. Of course, I just explained that one of the challenges is that the high levels of corrupt attempts at getting visas. There are many employers, public and private, not only government, even in the private sector, who do employ engineers, local and foreign, who are not registered with the engineering council. And of course, some foreign engineers that come to the countryside and apply for critical skills visas. And it's always desirable that one company apply for the visa and on the receipt of the visa and come. Just like the work visas soccer players let their opponents play every year. I never allow to play here until they get their weapons. We wish we could learn from them and do this. We need to deal with the issue of critical discard skills. If actually the president of Roma has did some homework before they came to the conclusion that engineering skills are critical skills. They are not saying they are hard skills. They are saying engineering skills are critical skills. We agree. We agree. And they went a step further and decided to manage the influx of foreign critical skills in the engineering field. The VAs that are recognized by ESA argue that it's not true that there's a shortage of engineers in the country. They are saying it's not true. There's a lot of unemployed members who are engineers, who are graduates, and who are professionals. That's their argument. ESA is in the process of compiling a comprehensive database of all engineering graduates and distinguishing who's employed and who's not employed, so that we can verify or debunk the argument that is by our VAs. I say there's no need to call employment based engineers. We've got enough here. In fact, there are things that unemployment here. Why do you do that? But the VAs are VAs. They'll talk in the interest of their members. We are not saying they're not telling the truth, but they are acting in the best interest of their members. And on a biannual basis, we'll be receiving the step from VAs of who is unemployed in a database, because it's something for them to say we've got unemployed members, but they need to give us people that it shows that they've got unemployed members. Coming on the other hand, argues that South African engineers don't want to work in rural areas. South African engineers do not want to serve in rural South Africa, and they resort to bringing people that are not chosen. That's the first state government argument and most other arguments. There's no evidence that there's a shortage of engineering capacity in this country. That's what that was as extra. We are not saying there is shortage or there's no shortage, but we do not have evidence that there's shortage. We know there's unemployment in South Africa. The issue of attracting foreign engineering skills is mentally resistant because of this argument that we don't have a need for them. There's an argument that sufficient capacity in the country. Maybe there is, maybe there's not. Before I go to conclude this remarks, we need to talk to the National Development Plan. I took the liberty of critically going through the National Development Plan. And the National Development Plan, and with respect, and I'm saying this with respect, like any other document, could have covered the issue of unemployment and skill shortage. The new growth path in the National Development Plan talks about employment creation. The question is, how do you contact employment creation and bring in foreign skills in this country where there is no evidence that there are such skills in the engineering field? The National Development Plan says that by 2020, unemployment should have fallen by 14%, and by 2030 it should be fallen by 6%. Can that be achieved if there's no strict control of the influx of foreign indigenous skills in this country, or any skill for that matter that are foreign? The National Development Plan says there will be a rise in labor force participation from 54% in 2010 to 65%. Will that be achieved if we do not have control on the influx of foreign indigenous skills? The National Development Plan says there will be 11 million additional jobs by 2050. Is that achievable if there's no control on the influx of foreign skills? The National Development Plan has identified about 9 critical sectors, employment sectors in this country. The agency will play a role in 9 of those, in 6 of those. In the agricultural sector, with agricultural engineers. In the mining sector, with mining engineers. In the leisure and high paid sector, and in private transport, because there's a lot of infrastructure, travel, culturing, engineering, construction and utilities, engineers, public sector, particular, employ a lot of engineers, and of course, EPW as well, employ a lot of engineers. It's important that these sectors talk to employment goals, having due regard to the impact that the influx of foreign skills. So Ishwar, colleague, in defining the national priorities, the national development, I'm not criticizing it. It's an observation that it's very thin on the implications and the management of the influx of critical skills from abroad. Of course we need critical skills. We live in a global world, but security demands in a manner that does not undermine the very commitment that are sitting in the national development. In conclusion, we need to talk more, government, private sector, and extra, on the issue of bringing of foreign critical skills in engineering. The question of health is already started. As I'm taking to talk to now, they are meeting my team there in Goma. Any foreign engineer not registered in extra shall not be subject to extra evaluation of competence. We will never know whether they are competent and deaf extra through the peers, through the engineers, the master of the chair that is here, who is the engineer himself, unless they get evaluated. This one, they will come here and for the couple of better ways, they will do well, especially if they are supervised, they will leave and will be left with the police. I'm not implying that they are not competent, but it's important that they work under the supervision. If they are not registered, they need to work under the supervision of a registered person. Anyone in engineer not registered extra shall not be subject to our code of conduct, because we don't have people that are not subject to our code of conduct. Anyone in engineer assigned to projects must be subject to the supervision of a registered engineer. And it's important to mention that it's not only human engineers that are being put in. I'm saying only human engineers. There are more foreign engineers in the country employed by foreign-based companies, and even our own government employs foreign engineers and consultants. The control of the influx of foreign engineers through the critical skills visa, woman says it's welcome. It's been undermined by fraudulent and scrupulous agents that people just call agents, immigration agents. But we welcome the efforts of the Department of Labor. We have our full support extra and properly coordinated and managed foreign engineering skills for Africa should be used at the very minimum until we want to set the capacity of engineers. But of course, we need to find ways of government of incentivizing our engineers to go and work in local areas, because they don't want to go and work there. That's why government resorts to bringing in foreign engineers. Way forward, we need to develop a solid engineering resolution strategy in Africa. We need to engage with Mr. Treasurer. We have already actually engaged with them, but that's in relation to local engineers. We have asked Mr. Treasurer to pass a directive that all of these sector institutions, parastatals, must not procure services from any engineer that is not competent as defined by the engineer company. I think we should extend that to say they should enjoy any institution that employs any foreign engineer that must be registered with engineers. We need to enter into MOUs with corporate services, these engineering firms, so that they need to employ and use competent engineers so that we can subject them to extra school of conduct. And we need to establish objective, transparent, and consistent registration system so that people do register and do not put extra as a gatekeeper. For many years, extra has been put as a gatekeeper. And the extra council has gone out of its way to recruit managers that will drive the transformation agenda. One of the transformation priorities is to improve the length of registered people and not limit it to the 11 outcomes, exit level outcomes. Chairperson, I thank you.
Thank you very much. Just before I get off you, advocate, on your transition going forward, I think the last time when we were there was a request or a point that was raised in terms of reviewing the engineering professions and to protect the way engineers and also maybe to strive for contractor registration. What is your view on that one? Just before I ask you, know, because you don't have it on your last page as well as part of the way forward that you want to. The question of amending the Engineering Professions Act to give effect to the profession of the way engineer and guru called Hari Hari Krishna. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Sir, allow me to be undiplomatic. Although I've joined ESA for almost 2 years now, I was not being prompted. There have been numerous efforts by ESA to have the ESA viewers and give effect to those two people you have mentioned, plus more, and that those efforts have been funded. The moment they did ESA for the TBE, they get the request. That's the end of it. Efforts by ESA at amending the Act have been funded. But from what the CEO tells me, because it's been ESA involved for one, the reluctance by the political principals to give effect to ESA wishes is because ESA has not transformed over the years. Now, if you want government to support you as an entity and to give effect to some of the things that would be an enabler as an opposition inhibitor, then there's a view that government is not very satisfied of extra transformation trajectory. We are in the process of making yet another attempt at having the extra views, because we believe extra demonstrated thus far that both in terms of the registration regime as well as the recruitment of the relevant managers and council position itself, the democratic outlook of council itself, points to transformation.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we have had a lengthy, voluminous presentation. A lot to chew about. A lot to chew. And I would have loved to open that to members, you know, to get further clarity from EFSA, so that the department, when it comes in, in their presentation, they should be able to cover up some of the issues that we may have raised with the ESA for clarification. Where there are gaps, then we... But I guess one has indicated, one of the problems is that I think some of the things that we wanted to be clarified on the history of the presentation, I just hope that everybody has got a copy of the presentation. On page 3, at least there is an indication of what ESA is doing in terms of the current legislation, the Internet Professions Act. And then on slide number 5, is the things that are there that looks very nice, and they are reported to be products of tested engineer. I just hope that we are able to make the contextual message that the advocate is trying to present to ourselves in relation to tested engineers. And then you then get to slide number 7. That one as well then seeks to give us a contextual message of saying if you don't have tested and competent engineers, the likelihood is to have a pothole, the likelihood is to have a bridge that is not continuous. All what one can see there is that on the bottom corner is that you have got a bridge being built from two sides, but it doesn't link. And then that is actually reported to be saying that this is some of the work that came out from people that have not been considered to be competent. And of course, is that honorable members, the bottom left corner, when there is this kind of problem of the photos that arise, then the questions that arise is the confusion, who takes responsibility? And the people will be fighting, because when you think of the child, the slide number 8, I think, was a little much more critical. Much more critical of slide number 8. Is that all our professionals, not just our professionals, all our engineers produced through our institutions, then you only have 8% of professionally registered whom the public can expect have not interpreted that they are something to rely on, and that they are degenerative, and they are producing some of the fields, water fields that are giving water out, some of the apartments that collapse, some of the buildings that collapse. Of course, that others are lucky that even though they are not registered, they are working under registered terms, and hence they are closed down, so they are being supervised appropriately. But the question that it was more than 50% of those that we have produced in our institution, but they have not been interested to be able to display competence, it's a huge number. You know, that number should have been higher, around 20%, you know, to actually the progression of them to professionalism. But now is that we are seeing a high level of non-progression from qualification at the institution to professional data. There is, I'm sure, the only thing is that I'm sure the, we may not have had that information, maybe sometimes we may have to have the information from the Institute of Council, maybe I should be well done with writing. To actually break down this top-end registered professional, you will see that age-wise, many of them, they are old people, actually getting out of the system. And you are not having the juniors moving very fast into that professional status, and it creates a problem. And of course, that bottom one, 10% also of them, they hold the engineering qualifications, but they become class. You know, they are issuing these, they are monitoring stores. You know, it's, they are counting cars or fleets of the public sector. And they are not practicing engineering, but they are holding engineering qualifications. So, of course, I'm going to tell you that the engineers, few that have been trained as engineers, they are capable of working in certain areas which are not directly related to engineering because they are not interested in software, especially technicians and technology. Now we've got sensors and we are talking about engineers, but unfortunately, what this slide is saying is that 10% of what we are producing in our institutions are here in the public sector doing non-engineering work. I think that is what the deal of the problem. And there are certain areas that I just wanted to highlight for us to be able to. Then the ease of foreign engineers by law requiring visa studies when they are here, critical skills visa which is managed by Home Affairs, street visa is also managed by Home Affairs, and then we'll have an explanation on these visas. And probably the DDG here, maybe in the process, you'll explain what you have heard last week or Friday. Some boys from Nigeria, they need to be having a visa to provide volunteer services. There is a good support, you know, the visa for volunteer services. Probably they give you a lot of information, I think, there. But the DG has decided to speak to that. It was on the line on this. If you have got further information about that, then you can bother us to ask. Then the question of engineers submitting fraudulent data that they are competent to be appointed in the country, I think that is important. Of course, to de-edify and deal with the records that are entitled there by the engineering council, where you have got some sort of project modification, project set up for purposes of migrating into South Africa. I think that that is, and also the issue of the engineering skills that it is critical for our field program, but engineering is not a care team. Therefore, what then means this one is that you can't just open doors for all engineers coming from outside to come in. While you are having 10% that are engineering coming, 10% that are definitely not registered to be able to be given a mandate to the project within the country. So that's the variation of a critical field and safety. I think it's very important. Of course, I've raised particular matter of the review of the Engineering Profession Act. Definitely needs to be renewed, because that is the only way that this country can protect South African citizens. And when you get into a high building of 15 floors or 20 floors, you must be satisfied that you go to the 15th floor and come back. Not that it really is too simple, no. And that profession needs to be made, and it's only the state that can do so. And then the state has created the Indian Council as a devil. And then the state must definitely assist the Indian Council to be able to fulfill a particular function and ensure that the citizens are protected. Honourable members, can I start with you about do you have any issues raised with the Indian Council clarity or better explanation?
Thank you, Abhijit, for such interesting presentation. I always believe in the saying that we are always afraid those who don't come and become as engineers. Yeah. It means that they are not engineers. Really, if you are competent, you will come. But what I want to know is your registration. You register an engineer, and then how much is the fee? And then you register every month, every year, to check whether you are still in the profession of engineering. The other thing that I want to say is those unscrupulous engineers or bothers, because even in them, in the health of you can also those health professionals who are bothers, especially those who can be like. So when you are presenting, you are saying that Nigeria is not because an engineer. No, they are very, very, very strict about the name of the engineer. And what has happened in that case? And they are the ones who are really trying to say that we as South Africans, they are really next with this engineer concern. The Washington are calling all the accounts. I think this is the time we must come to say the Africa Court, that what is expected. We've got one of our own members of the Zuma in the United Nations. So what are we saying on this critical scale? The African agenda. So we should also try to address those issues of the critical scale of the engineers. But I think it is a prerequisite. With any advertisement of any post, that they must say that if you are an engineer, you must be registered with the Engineering Council of South Africa before you can really bring those requirements. You must bring a certificate, all the requirements for ID and all those things. So it should be a requirement when people advertise before home for that group. I think that no, on the issue of the BTEC, the PSE, what are the issues? Because what we have realized, we have had those people who are coming from the disability, they are hands off. Those who are coming from universities, they are more of a theory. But this one are more critical than this. But how are you going to make, match that requirement and make them not to be similar? They are having problems in also in the medical field concerning the doctors who have what they call them, but I remember. But you are doing an excellent job, and I think we should have a campaign. We must go down to the street to say that we are enough is enough. If ever you are a qualified, whatever profession, not only on engineers, I think every, but I'm looking to the whole thing. If ever you are a really a professional, come and be registered with the relevant institution. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malone.
My best question will be on page 11, that's also the
we should look at, and I quote, the National Development Plan together with President Zuma's title of the National Direction earlier this year, placed emphasis on job creation and infrastructure development. Now, if the Cubans, they do not adhere to the Washington Accord, but they are employed here because there is a shortage or we don't offer that skill. That's what the minister said. But if you speak to TAFE, and they have made, with the Mechanical Engineers Association, that's the 25,000 members registered, that is willing to work with the government. The Cubans are in the cost of 19 million rand a year. That was also in a reply from the minister. That's the cost of the 35 Cubans per year. We are taking 19 million rand out of the country. That money is not spent in this country. And as you've shown us on that graph, there's a large portion of our current engineers that is on the old side. And we are creating a gap by importing people from other countries while we grow engineers and seek jobs. Why don't we utilize those people, get them into the program and get them trained by those instructor schools? Even whether they are going to and whether they cannot register with you, it's still better than bringing in foreigners which also does not have the skills or does not qualify according to your rules. Then I don't see any reason why then we could rather take unqualified people in our country that's got the minimum qualifications like a defect that is maybe not in the situation where they can qualify at that stage. Train them, get them to a situation that in future they can qualify to register with the organization. My last plea is that I agree with what my colleagues have said. Maybe we should give a Cape Town board to say that if you don't adhere to your regulations, you cannot work in this country. A foreigner cannot come into this country if they do not adhere to the Washington Accord or whatever your norms and standards are. Before they apply for any visa, whether it's a visa or like you've mentioned, a 3D visa. The fact of the matter is, the chairperson is correct. I don't want to stand on the 14th building and get to the ground in a few seconds because the person has been brought in because it's the treaty that we've agreed upon bringing in here because maybe in the past that government was good for some reason for South Africa. And now I bring in, I'm helping you. We are not helping our own people. We are not making it safer for our own people. So I believe that if foreigners come and they don't adhere to your regulations, they should not be allowed to work in this country. That's the only way I see us getting them in, is if they do and we don't have the scheme. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honourable Peter.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, and thank you for the presentation. I think we're going to ask the same question for them on slide 8. My concern about the 50% and the other percent. And now what can it take for people to say every engineer that comes to the country must be consultant exploration? What is the problem? And then also, if you look at, also I just want to find out, what are the major gaps as far as this side is concerned in the current fiscal year? Then is there any engagement between you and the government and the other structures like the department, home affairs, and the other structures that you can engage with in order to make this thing work? Thank you.
Thank you very much, we have here for a very enlightening presentation that we have received. And but I think before I say what I say, I think it is important to know that every country protects very, very much high level. We are getting a lot of NGOs, we are getting a lot of organizations in the name of human rights and so forth. But if you look at the address, destabilized South Africa using its immigration law, using its constitution, its enlightened constitution, they have identified gaps, and then the nation has got to have dialogue and identify the weaknesses that already have been identified by the enemies who work closely with many journalists in the country to promote a bias agenda that is blindly loyal to the West. But having said that, I think the question around the police that do not prioritize the work of protecting our thoughts when our children are not employed, I think that needs discussion at the highest level, like the police commissioner together with the people, so that both sides understand and have the insight of the problem. Because sometimes it's just a matter of inside this is not very important. It was death, it was murder, it was race and so on. Now this guy is coming with this loud debate. We attend to this argument, it does not get attended to. And then the issue of teaching visa, I think that is a critical matter. And then I urge the chairman to engage security plaza and so forth, and then we discuss it, and then we have different insights. Because what happens is that if I'm in police and then you are in home affairs, I look at my problems from the perspective of home affairs only, and then I get satisfied. Whereas I'm impacting on the security side, I'm impacting on the engineering side and on the health professional side. So I think we've got to work out enforcement and those two, I think, could achieve. Because our children are not employed. I know of two children qualified engineers. 3 years ago, they approached me, they said they were not having employment. I went to the deputy minister of mining, but ultimately they ended up as teachers, and right now they are teachers in teaching professions because they could not get a job. Now, if they hear that we employ other people from other countries as engineers and say that they are that, that is going to make us clash with our own children who are highly unemployed, and then that is going to destabilize South Africa. I think what we need to do is to research the gender information, proper information, and act according to that. But I think here in the Free State, the problem was around rural deployment of highly qualified people. Now, we start this with some recruitment agencies, and I'm deployed in a very rural area. The problem is both sides. We find that people that are highly qualified do not want to service very rural areas, because the first question they ask, where are my child to run in school? If I get teaching, where am I going to get most medical care facilities? I've got to have and then they go to city. And then at the same time now, they are supposed to be supervised. The supervisors won't go to the rural area. Therefore, they end up working in the rural area at entry level if they do at all. So I think that one, the issue of rural areas needs a further discussion in the nation, a further dialogue in the nation, a better development. Because we are pushing explain my own personal this thing about the solution. So I think this thing, the issue not only of engineers is wrong area, the doctors as well. We have problems with doctors and other professions as well. So I think that part is going to be a mission in our particular group discussion by people with your type of insight and experience. I think it would take everything a long way forward. And lastly, I think the issue of the government employing unregistered engineers and also protecting them and more. But then it's on the other side, the engineers should not look like a legitimate exercise. But now for you to have that, unfortunately also you go to a beach. The other side has got to start from saying you are a gatekeeper, and then you go to start from the side of saying, no, I'm looking after the safety of all the citizens of the country. And then see how you meet together. Because many of our problems as South Africans are because we are not happy. We are talking past each other. The other one says this, the other doesn't listen, and then they implement the other and so forth. We cannot be a society that is not in dialogue. Even the effectiveness of the democracy and rising democracy and then looking forward to be a very strong South Africa. And the effort, I think, can be a very, very important peer in that process.
Thank you very much. Okay, I would describe almost everything that's been said, but the last point is actually being raised by Honorable Kumede. I wanted to hear either do they know about space? Because the members raised something about space. Do they know about space? How do you deal with that? And are you doing something to have a database or your thinking to look at that? Of engineers are not registered under a cell phone. They are not under a code of conduct. Is there a campaign, because Mamodabuti talks about the campaign of ensuring that all these engineers are registered, even the ones that are unemployed, so that they can come close to you whilst you are not an employment agency, but they should be known where they are, what they are doing. Now, what is the name of the member? you need to talk to the department so that the chief can reflect what is in their hands of ensuring that we get our skills right now. That's my main one. Otherwise, all the other things here are very clear with me. What about the process? Not the term now, engineer. Sound
engineer.
Now I was not sure why. Isn't the best time we want to give the power of the thing, but I think maybe you are going to change one. Maybe you scored a reason that I came because of Nigeria or whatever. I'm worried about those guys who came traveling here. How are they going to change it? But I thought that you are going to change one. Also, you explained about the same of us, but then I understood people. That was my first question. How did that guy ask you? And now I understand that Adam was with you, and I think honorable candidate raised a point there, that whoever supposed to make sure that there is this act, leading to the department, that the act must be done so that these people must be forced, so that you appropriate the regulation, so that we don't have a situation where bridges are falling, houses are falling, and the thing, and the big thing is. Because there is a proper regulation, scientific and agent, but I think the bad point is to make sure that everybody comes on board. Don't leave engineers that were there before and leave them outside like the other thing. You say, that person is an engineer. And you must find a way of bringing together. Maybe in a dialogue, not just saying you must go back to them in the end. Of advancing, how fast can we do this? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And honorable members, I'm sure Basson, you may have that a few years back, the train driver, I call it Niji, the driver of the train, I call it Niji. And then and some media propaganda, sometimes they are called media Niji. Well, the act, as I think as the advocate has indicated, is called by a public work. The Minister of Public Works, the one I think that the child is the responsibility of doing all the time. But it's in the children of this particular act. If it needs to be reviewed, then I'm sure it's a relevant minister that he must facilitate a certificate to be to have. Definitely, it's a thing that requires to be considered. Of course, we can outside there are the problems that we face. And Honorable Mendes indicated, I'm sure you are okay with this, that there are those people that find themselves in a corner where they are saying that it's difficult for them engineers to really design the ATP. And on the one side, then we have got the same institution given the responsibility to actually give assurance on the professional that must practice and then give us any sort of equipment that we need. So this is a hard place in a rock and then something that we definitely need to do. And then also of course like what we have heard is that as we have seen those four blocks referring to accreditation of programs as an institution. But the question is, who must take student heads to those institutions to do those programs? That the government must encourage our children and our parents must encourage our children to do math and math, appropriate subjects to be able to go and do those particular programs and qualify, and then private sector as well as public sector must employ this person. It doesn't help the person going there to place it like that, you said. And when he comes out there with an analytical qualification, then that person lacks experiential training. And then he's not employed, he's on a street with a diploma or a degree, then end up going to do something totally irrelevant. And that, I think, is a joint responsibility that we have as parents to ensure that we try to handle our children and advise them to follow certain lines and then to go and do those accredited programs to be able to qualify for engineers, technicians, Christians and all sorts of things, plumbers and all. I mean, there's nobody that wants to go into your house in the afternoon and then you find that your house is full of sewage because the sewer lines are blocked because they don't seem to be correct. You don't want that. You just want to know the sewer flow out, water must come through, water must
Let me preface my response by asking that if at all possible, Mr. Matron, that the record of all questions that I'm asking, which I'll repeat as I answer them, if you could just jot them down and send them to us. So that for purposes of future oversight by yourselves to say, what time did you came here, sir? These are responses that you've given. What's the book? So if you could resend those questions for us to respond and to amplify those responses to what I'm giving you, because I did not have all the answers in detail here, and to answer that is. For instance, the first question that was asked by Honorable Member is that I must give a breakdown of all the fees that get charged by EXA. Although you limited your question to how much a professional engineer pays per annum, the more in terms of registration, if you like to have your qualification validated, being a foreigner, if you apply for research, it's a fee. And then once you are registered, it's about 5,000 that's about 5,000 professional engineers. Once you are registered, your registration is for pure compliance. And subject to your CPD status, then you apply for renewal of registration and then you get confused. And that's so you must work. But in the detailed report I'm going to give, we give you a breakdown not only of the different things for which you are charged, but how much it is. For technologies, professional technologies, professional technicians, professional engineers, application fees, qualification evaluation, renewal fees, all of them will be done. It's not cheap to register the engineers. And that's why it pins the heart of the stakeholder when you see applicants being turned away for no reason at all. And the perception that EXA is gatekeeper and that people do not get registered there is fed by a number of things. One, historically, EXA, quality assessment is not good. You're just working as an applicant, you are faced with three or four guys, they grill you, no one knows what happened. And a lot of applicants will walk out of there and say, I was prejudiced, either on account of gender, on account of race, or whatever. And we never have anything to write off. But counselors made it that way. All competency interviews of prison quality. Naturally, let us met with huge resistance. Why? What is it that we have to hide? But the country stood by that. I look in the recording of interviews, and I can confirm that there's a strong likelihood that the recording of interviews is going to be rolled out as part of the recommendation agenda. These are the kind of things that make governments reluctant to review the act when they are not ready to get a show that there's transparency in the process. So to answer your question, ma'am, about the black engineers, that perception is grounded by the fact that there are secrets behind what happened in those competency interviews. We are dealing with that, and as I said, we are recording interviews. Some of the just comments around the African agenda, I will not comment on those, except to say that indeed, EXA must be very clear as to what its role is in the African agenda towards this development in this country. The issue of demolition, not that issue. The issue of skills transfer. Like we said in the first statement that I didn't miss, EXA's role and mandate is not to employ engineering professionals, but to regulate how they are employed. Therefore, we are not in control as to what happens when foreign engineers are here. And whether the state government, now that it has a foreign engineer, those foreign engineers are going to choose us. EXA does not take oversight from there. Because at a certain point, those engineers are not registered. For EXA to have anything to say with any engineer in this country, that engineer must be under the president. And if that engineer was under the president, EXA cannot have a say on the transfer, the transfer of foreign engineers. The issue of physical systems are registered persons in the program of engineering professions. The Engineering Professions Act, unlike the Health Professions, Clinical Professions Act, does not make it compulsory for engineering professions. Through the identification of engineering work, EXA was going to achieve the same thing. Because for you as an engineer to do certain engineering work, you would have to be registered with EXA. That's what the IDOE has been all about. It's been resisted because unregistered people know that though not have certain engineering way, that identifies that IPOEW regulation. IPOEW stands for identification of engineering way. Because for you to do that way, you have to register. So we are hoping that doesn't come in the IPOEW regulation to win. Compared a lot of people that practice engineering way. But until such time that we change our act, we'll remain with it. But like I mentioned, the XRCO then mentioned about creatively looking at ways of having people register, because the reality is not is that not every engineer is a consulting engineer. You've got engineers that are in the municipalities, you've got engineers that are in working in government departments, and they are not necessarily consulting engineers. Now we need to transform extra to take into account the fact that it's not every engineer that is a consulting engineer, therefore must do design, for instance, as one of the 11 exits out of this. How often do we engage with the Department of Home Affairs? I must admit that the engagement is not as regular as it's supposed to be. But the two engagements we've had in last year, in August last year, in February, this year, have yielded great results, because for the first time, the Department of Home Affairs made us aware that there are people who came, who come to them, apply for criminal skills, just came to the register with them when they were not registered with them. Fortunately, that's why we picked up those students. And it's through that engagement, we need to do more in that kind of engagement going forward. The cost of hiring students and the existence of hydraulic engineers, as Honorable Basoli said, those are issues around who employs engineers and why. And EFSA does not get in there. The interest of EFSA, once an engineer lands here, would prefer that engineer to check first whether they are competent or not. But you can't put a guard on the Department of any other department to say, bring that engineer. Because the Act does not compare registration of engineers. Indeed, there's a suggestion that's coming very strongly that ESA must do something about this, about making compulsory for foreign engineers to be registered.
Yes.
Yeah. We need a legislative instrument to do that, and we do not have it. The Department of Home Affairs is better halfway. They are saying for you to receive a visa to work here, you need to go to ESA first. Like we told you, it's undermined by scholars. The engagement with government departments, already I engaged with the Department of Labor, the Department of Home Affairs. While we engage with the Department of Labor and the Department of Transport, in other hands, I think it's important that we engage with them regarding, and the Department of Home Affairs, regarding the importance of ensuring that we cooperate and collaborate in bringing people that are competent to work here in the government. And the Department of Health, like I reported earlier on, has already approached us because they want to bring health technologies, engineering technologies, but they want us to share the competency before they come in. And I'm sure I've heard the question, what is the extra from saying or decreeing that every engineer that's born in the country must still be registered. We need an extra engineer to do that. Extra and SAGE, there's no engagement between extra and SAGE. There's no role played by extra and SAGE in this regard. And we welcome any proposal of this. Of course, within the parameters of what is a mandate and what is not a mandate. EFSA is very careful not to blame the distinction between the regulatory mandate and the player makes that contribution. The campaign or the plan to know who the engineers are and where they are employed. Indeed, the commission EFSA called strategic analysis. They're taking it upon themselves to have that database of who is employed and who is not employed. We're working very closely with EFSA that recognize voluntary association. To know who's unemployed out there. So the way we engage government to say, please, make sure that you register people with us, or do not bring people on, bring people. Then you talk from an informed position. Chairperson, most of the things of the comments were noted, and there were no questions, and I tried to answer the questions that were asked. If there's anyone I remember here that feels they made a comment which they would require a response, we are pretty good. I'm happy to do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, and I may not be sure. Maybe we should just try and speak to some of the things. I think the ones I mentioned with BCEF, BFC, and B Integrated Engineering, I'm not sure whether anyone was speaking to their differences, and the others were hands-on, others were desktop officials, things like that. I think the ones that particular question. If maybe we can get some explanation whether in writing. them, you know, giving the difference between the efficient technologies and engineers, and how do they actually fill in each other's work in the engineering field. And then I think also there was an issue on the case number relating to mental health in the first police. And then if we have those, and then I'm sure you answered the issue of transfer of skills. If you don't know about people that came here, then you can't manage them. You can only manage those that you know. I think there was a question about those that come from foreign countries here to study. Then you said that some of them, they after completing, they don't go home. Then the question was, whether it is both those that are registered or unregistered that go home, or that stay behind, or which one you can go back to their home. I think it was one of the things. Yes. And then the issue of Honorable Bassoa, I think it was for three adherence to our regulations. And then to ensure that those that come in here from outside, they come here with them. Otherwise, we can grow our own trees in the country. And then the other one was from Honorable Kipland, I think there was the gaps on the critical fields. Whether there are gaps or that needs to be filled in, I think we needed something to speak to that. And then the issue of the gaps in the immigration laws from most of the United States, and then also the question of engineers who ordinarily prefer urban area because of amenities rather than the rural, and then the question of a national endeavor to introduce what is called community service or something like that. You actually force professionals for a particular period to go and work in the urban area.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. And then also, of course, who has implemented it's a matter that EFSA should actually position itself not to be seen as a baby. Yeah, and I think those are the issues that have just discussed. The issue of the database, I think, from Honorable Nancy, and the matter of relating to the 2063 agenda in terms of getting our own people to actually make sure that we are able to comply and advance the objectives of the agenda, not to rely on foreign professionals. I think those are issues that I can quickly just go through them. And if there is anything to raise, you can answer, but if majority of them will require the response, you can indicate that. Other question?
And
the question
is, what are we checking on commission on the issue of the world say that we have got in agenda in other countries? Because priority is our success before everything. Here are the failures we had also in the support groups from outside. My question was, which one is not here in the list? I said, we had approximately 3,000 private employment for NASA in the country. And then I asked the question, I said, why is there no statistics for our own children? Because we want to see what is happening to our own children in South Africa.
Okay. No, it is fine. I thought that that was responded in terms of providing the database. Yes, and then just give us some sort of response on those available information. Let's check with Honorable Nesipet. May have missed him.
Chair, mine, it's a new board, it's right of what you are saying. It's very, you are blind. The engineer after you got your certificate, you pay money. Then you apply for something else, you pay, and that money goes up to 5,000. Now, I wanted to say maybe when we're talking about regulation, that needs to be seriously considered. from very facilities that from rural area where they are majority they are selling the ones that were talking about the South African. That might be the reason why they are unable to access the engineers department. So I wanted to say we need to still look at the department and get the project so that it is acceptable, particularly to South Africa. Not discriminating other for the fact that we know their background.
Okay, I'm sure that you can just give you some extra 5 minutes to explain. I'm sure there are more than one group. There are those that are just qualified from outside the country that their qualification must be evaluated, blah, 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 and all that. Then you've got our own process of our universities that sometimes come in as the handy JD engineer technology and progress through registration apps and some of the fees that are involved will be the documents that will be given on the request of the other program. I think it's a various fees for various activities. And I think he can just give us some short responses. Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. Just a second, let's have Honorable Johnson.
I hope and trust that 2 months is good. I hope and trust that the question is not it's one question that is running is linked to this very notion about having to attract foreign guilt. In the country we have the 2030 vision on the national development plan. 2010 for you as a country to succeed in achieving all those targets, unemployment, inequality, and poverty and reduction. You need an ample amount of skills. To an extent, you have to ask yourself a question as to currently, well, it could be rhetorical to say, rather write a question whether we have enough skills. Clearly, by way of asking this issue, we do not have enough skills. What programs do we have in place that are looking at, as a country now, having not to rely on foreign skills? If we were to go by ourselves, what programs do we have that shall take us to that 2030 vision achievement thereof? Are we able to say annually we shall be having this target that's a related to that 2030 expectation in terms of skills? So let me give an example of aircraft manufacturing. Relating more to India. I like this example all the time. India produces 1 million IT specialists in China, out of which productivity is exported to other countries worldwide. It's a conscious program that the government has engaged in. And it says, hey Anna, we shall be having this number of IT specialists. As a result, the country in South Africa, where we are, it would say, hey, Anna, out of what we require, we shall be having this X number of skills per annum. I raised this question also to one person in the higher education space, as to whether the countries are able to achieve that target. Our colleges and the aid would be expected to produce this X number of engineers, several families. And the response I got was that it is not possible. You know, colleges are independent, and all what it takes. But I said, government subsidizes heavily these colleges. Whether it's the West or ECC or Mongolia, even that. How come we are able to, if you like, in partnership, I don't know how to use the word stage, but if it's tantamount to that, from government point of view, but progressive status, if you like. Because you start saying, you want to achieve that target. Therefore, we are going to be partnering with you in achieving that target. How do you reconfigure your own system within the specific policies? Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much. There is a body called of college principals, university principals, there is a whole of that. is there in their head. But when they are looking for something, then they are not heard and felt as a government. And of course, is that if you have heard it, in the grain, in the mean, that question has been raised many a time that our universities are not responding to the NCP requirement in terms of skills. They continue for quite a long time still producing as nothing has happened outside that. But whereas out there as well, there is this thing of saying what you are producing your universities and technical is not what the industrial economy wants. And then there is a reluctance to shift from these institutions now to produce what you want. That debate has been there. So the question that we are raising, of course, is that why are they responding? They continue to produce what is relevant to our country. And then and that's the question that some of these voices, like that one of the university principals, then sometimes we have to respond. Because they have come to the island to be independent and they try to protect their independence very jealously. If you have heard about the talk of this university, they are protecting that little girl. But unfortunately, then they are not actually reporting to what is happening outside the economy. And therefore now you find this other thing that because we have a building program, almost 800 billion or whatever that we have to unleash, they need the critical skills to do that, then our institution can give us now. Hence now the need to source from outside the critical program and why we are trying to actually produce these people and then send them to the island. That is a stopgap measure. That's why there is this is what a program to ensure that you don't just put everybody in and you can respond to you.
Honorable member, the economy. Before I ask a question about the distinction between BTEC and the DNs and BSC and so on and so forth, you did ask a very important question and the transformation question. What is the role of TVET colleges in feeding into the engineering system? Conventional and traditional, if only the basis of technologies and the mainstream comprehensive universities, as we know, that produce engineers or technicians, technologists, up to the engineers themselves. But the achievement, and also correctly pointed out, play a role and excellent recognition. There's a process now of integrating the achievement educational system into this mainstream educational system of professional engineers. It's not yet complete. You cannot find the achievement country being registered with excellence yet, but that process is underway of recognizing the practical dimension that is brought by TV communities. It is something that is excellent. Just in brief, I'm sure you've heard in the news that the Minister of Higher Education is phasing out the BTEC qualification and is going to replace that other qualification which combines a number of the previous ones. But the fact of the matter is that currently, we've got people that graduate in engineering and traditional diplomas, they are called technicians. They are the lowest rank of the three. Then we've got those that graduate with a degree in engineering technology, in universities of technology, they are called technologies. So then we've got BSc or BN graduates who go to comprehensive universities and they graduate with engineering qualifications and they are engineers. And of course, the difference is in the complexity of problem solving. Engineering is about problem solving. And I think whether you are a technician or a technologist or you are an engineer, but you do have technologies that end up being registered as functional engineers based on the competency and exposed to complex problem solving. So in short, I would say the issue that critical skills is that we do not see any gaps. We are happy that it's comprehensive now, but we need to mention that there are categories of disciplines of engineering that are not very developed. We've got quite a list of these engineers in this country, but there are those that you find either in Europe, for instance, IT, which we are not that advanced in IT engineering in this country, as yet. But the critical skills based on this is quite comprehensive in terms of what you cover or what you do not in engineering. which you didn't ask me about, then you ask again to say, I presented that the 3,000 engineers that are registered with EFSA are not the only engineers, there are actually more. Indeed, there are a lot of African students who come to this country to study, not only engineers, to study law, to study architecture, and so forth. But because of the economic conditions in this country compared to the rest of Africa, and I'm talking the rest of Africa, including West Africa, they stay here, they don't go. Either they get naturalized, or they decide to retain their citizenship, but they stay here in this country for many years. And they have South African qualifications, and they end up working here for many years. We've got lots of them. And we do not have control as the Engineering Council of Africa, or even the Spanish of Home Affairs, I suppose, to say that we came here to study, they will go back home. I do not know whether the Department of Home Affairs is able to change them away, but we do not play a role there yet. But indeed, we will got lots of those. In fact, if we look at the true picture of foreign engineers in the country, including those that come here, I'm sure it's triple or four times the number that are in now. It's possible. What are we doing to train or skills development for our people in terms of the African agenda? Like I said, the mandate of EFSA is not to train people. The mandate of EFSA is to regulate those that are being ushered into the engineering profession. The sense as to the breakdown of what those that are not registered are, the breakdown will come later as we have indicated. We take the point that payment of registration fees and renewal fees might be an inhibitor, especially for those that come from particularly disadvantaged backgrounds. We take that into account, we note it, and we need to apply our measures in this case. And the last question about the role being by EFSA as a regulator and as a special country in skills development like the Indian school and so on and so forth, again goes back to the issue of what mandate of EFSA is. But EFSA cannot turn a blind eye to the fact that there's huge development out there that needs to play on. But what role should we play without actually blaring the mandate? The role of EFSA, or the mandate of EFSA, is to regulate those that are in the profession of it. Skills development is where the seeds are coming in, the capital of higher education, so on and so forth. But it is a point that we need to see. Is there any role, even if it's in that role, that EFSA can play towards increasing the skills base? So tomorrow we don't talk about school skills. We are not talking about skills base. And that'd be good today. Just if there's anything I've missed and it's critical, I'll deal with it. But otherwise, I request Mr. Matron to send all these questions that you ask so that we can amplify them in the future.
Thank you very much. And honorable member, I think we have some comprehensive responses. And I'm sure she'll be highly empowered to speak on this particular subject. I think it's much more better. And I need to thank the advocate. I think we just really thank you very much for having done that, and I think that it is much more clear now, and what is it that we do, and what is it that we don't do, what is it that we can do to actually make life easier for everybody else, and so that we know. But the question of the review of the legislation that we tried to act, it needs to be redone. Probably it should also give you additional money, because if you can't say anything to the universities, who request you to come and address their problem, but you can't say anything on the production, then there is a mismatch, and maybe additional power needs to be given to them to ensure that there is somebody who is valued, who is out of this project, and in relation to the program that you are creating in this institution. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I'm not sure whether it has been finished at the back there, but I think we can swap now to the Department of Home Affairs. We can give them 7 minutes to get ready to take out the phone. Thank you very much. Let's get your budget for the now that you're ready.
administering these visas, check out in new on the amended Immigration Act of 2011 and 2007, with these regulations, now requires the Department of Homeland Security to administer immigration in North Korea. As we have heard from the presentation, the previous presentation, we are now, the new regulation now requires the department, before it issues any visa, to work in collaboration with other statutory bodies, with other departments, and with other entities that will be able to provide more information before we can make a decision on whether we can grant a visa or not. In the past, what would happen was if somebody would apply for a visa, there would be a requirement, there would be a teach sheet, we would teach and say qualification, yes, a passport, yes, we would do all the tips, but there would be no verification of the particular document, nor would there be any verification or a requirement for all these individuals to be any professional body. The new regulation now requires that that is done. And as reported by the previous presenter, we have found that in particularly in the critical fields and even in general work visa, the point that there is a lot of fraud, and we are able to deal with that now since we have the involvement of the special bodies and other departments in the particular the critical field list chapter deals with a variety of vocations in the agricultural sector, the architectural sector, the engineering field, in the business field, the information technology field, health professional field. It also deals with academia and researchers that are linked to, for instance, to the SAA project. But in this particular presentation, we concentrated actually on the engineering field, and those are the issues that we have discussed. And I will ask Mr. Mbele to talk to the presentation board. Mr. Mbele is responsible for the for corporate visa and deals in particular with the implementation of the critical field visa.
Thank you very much, and good morning. I'm not going to do the introduction because I think the presentation from EXA covered in large part the collaboration between the final what I will do is just a little bit of the background to how we came to the drafting of the critical field list. And the critical field list came about as a result of the consultation between various organizations and government departments, and also in light of the employment service bill, which is now in the parliament, the control of the government. We previously had what we call the CODA work permit and an exceptional skills work permit. The new immigration regulations brought into there also some change in terminology, whereas we used to call them energy, now call them visas. So your what you are usually referred to as a work permit is now called a work visa. So we had in the past a quota work permit and an exceptional field work permit. Now, the amendments of the Immigration Act collapsed the two categories into what we now refer to as the official and the field skills. And in the road to what the draft model of official fields is released, there are a number of departments that are involved. Starting with the Department of Higher Education and Training, Department of Trade and Industry, Hotel Sanitation, and all the other government departments, including the section, the sector of the Education and Training Authorities. The critical field work visa came into effect on the 26th of May 2014, which was last year. And as a result of the changes, there was also the need for the development of the critical fuel that would support and lead to the implementation of the new critical fuel criteria. And this was addressed to was developed to address the two views of the objectives of the National Development Plan and generally regional key projects such as the strategic infrastructure project. And as already mentioned by the BDG McKay, one important aspect of the critical skills is the collaboration that is now required between the Department of Home Affairs and the confirmation that is needed from the various professional bodies. And as already mentioned as well, that in the critical skills list itself, there are quite a number of qualifications, including those from the engineering category. For example, we have the health professional there, which requires that any health professional that is brought or that employer wants to bring in South Africa must be registered in the health professional councils of South Africa. But then also in addition, the Department of Health also has the regulation in place that says that there is no employer that can bring in from abroad without the approval of the Department of Health itself. And included in some of those requirements is that any health professional that comes to practice in South Africa is also required to do community, especially in the rural areas that have been the Department of Home Affairs, as I already mentioned, decided to differentiate between the skills and the critical skills. We know that the Department of Higher Education and Training last year, in 2014, they published what they called the 100 occupations that are in demand, which eventually led to what was called the skills skills list. The skills skills list is a bit different from what the Department of Home Affairs published, because the Home Affairs list is all the critical field list, but that one from the Department of Education Training was used as a field list. Now, in terms of the definition, we describe the critical skills as those skills that are critical to the improvement of the economic development and growth, without which strategic projects and work could not be undertaken. And it refers to high-level skills that will enhance the skills pool in the economy, which in turn will encourage and potentially accelerate growth in the economy. And the methodology that we took in developing the critical skills list involved quite a number of activities, some of which we are consulting, the talks that we conducted in December 2013. And as well as March 2014. And then there was also in-depth consultation with the Department of Education and Training, the Department of Labor, the Department of Trade and Industry, and the Department of Economic Development. And then there was also information and research that was used from the Labor Market Intelligence Project, LMIT. And then we also as well referred to the top 100 occupations in high demand, which was published by the DHCC. And then also we received the input from the PIPC, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee, as well as the Human Resource Development Council, data, the sector input, as well as research, as well as contributions from the Industrial Policy Action Plan of the DCI, which is the IPC. The new growth plan, the NDP, and so forth. And then there was also information that we obtained from a private sector research that was being undertaken at that time. And then also feedback that was obtained from the consultations in the workshops that we had, also with a various number of professional bodies, especially professional bodies and those that are not specified. And then also the historical data on the DHA, on data that we have. So we also consulted in terms of historical data on our cultural experience as well as the exceptional experience to say that in terms of what the issue before, what occupation according to demand do we still need to be carried over to the new fiscal system.
In terms of engineering occupation in the list, what we use the OFO, or the organizing framework of occupation, that is used by the Department of Higher Education. It's a framework that we use to group occupations under certain classification. And the critical field list, the way that it's drafted, if you see a classification, for example, in the slide here, like further, if you say under engineering, and as a broader category, and then you can break down the type of occupations that are listed under the classification. And the ones that we have marked in red are some of those that, for instance, when a person applies a critical field visa as a boiler maker, in terms of our own process, then we would then request that this student be registered with a professional body. But then what we have received feedback from ECHA was that there are some of the occupations that they do not necessarily regulate or recognize as engineers, even though in terms of our list today may be classified under engineering. For instance, all those that are the ones that ECHA expressed that they would not issue certificate of recognition or a membership certificate, or according to ECHA, they do not consider those people to be engineers. It's quite a number of a number of them, your fitters, antennas, your manufacturing managers, metal fabricators, and so forth. Now, the requirements that we require when we issue a work visa. For instance, imagine I just used the opening remarks of the Honorable Chairperson when he started to say that if a person comes to Home Affairs and says, I'm an engineer. Home Affairs does not have the competency to prove whether he is an engineer or not. That is the reason why we will then require a competent professional body to attest to the claims of that particular individual. For instance, when you look at the Immigration Act and also particularly the critical skills visa, the regulations say that the Department of Home Affairs must facilitate the attraction and the retention of people who are critically ill. So, in terms of providing a document that allows the person to be legally in the country. So, the fact that the department has issued a person a critical skills visa to work as an engineer does not necessarily mean that the Department of Home Affairs has authorized that person to contract the bridge and so forth and whatever. We would have issued the visa because, for instance, ECHA would have said that we've looked at the person's qualifications, the person is registered, we've actually verified their qualifications, and we have accepted the person as a member in terms of our own regulations and so forth, or if maybe there's a waiting period that person needs to have, ECHA would then put it in their confirmation document. And in terms of the requirements require confirmation writing from the accredited professional body or any relevant government department concerning the skills or qualifications of the applicant and appropriate post-qualification experience. And I think my colleague from ECHA expressed to say that in terms of ECHA, there's certain appropriate experience that is required before ECHA can actually recognize a certain engineer. In addition to other requirements that we have. And then we also have what we call the requirement also proof of application for a certificate of registration with the accredited professional body council or board recognized by staff. Now, one of the issues that were raised in some of the consultancy workshops that we had was that South Africa was not making all efforts in terms of assessing critical fields, because the discourse at that time was that the pool of people who are critically skilled is really quite limited, and South Africa, like any other country, is competing with other countries to attract those people to come to South Africa. If there's a particular engineer And that's another thing that South African employer would like to attach to South Africa. And they are competing against another employer in another country. And the feedback that we received from employers was that South Africa is actually making it difficult for employers to bring skilled people into the country. And the issue that was raised was that some of our requirements were too onerous. You know, we require too many documents for people, and some of the processes were actually taking longer than what other countries were taking in terms of issuing visas and so forth. Now, what we then did was saying that as one of those benefits or one of initiatives that we would use to attract physically skilled to South Africa, we would then issue for the first 12 months the department is able to issue a physical skills visa, work visa, to a citizen who finds back for them to come and look for work in South Africa in the occupation in which they are quite back. The maximum period for which a physical skills visa work visa is issued is 5 years. But the only issue for 5 years if a person has an employer, has an offer or a contract of employment or an offer of employment that confirms that the person, you know, will have work or maybe a sort of even offer to work. But in cases where the person is not employed but needs all the other requirements, we normally give them 12 months. And the reason for the 12 months as well is also to assist us in terms of our obligation. So that if we were able to give to grant, for instance, an applicant, we were able to grant him physical skills work visa for 12 months. And in the 12 months that they were in South Africa, they ended up being unable to secure employment. That also will assist us in giving us information to say that maybe that particular skill is not really needed in the country, because if that person is really that much physical but could not secure employment in South Africa, then it means that that particular population should really not be on the physical skills list. And what is it that we have done so far? The final physical skills list was developed out of the accumulation of all data collected. The physical skills work visa has been positively received by the members of the private and public sector, including individual foreign citizens. However, the department has also encountered challenges in the introduction of the physical skills work visa, some of which are occupations such as the nurse and science educators were excluded from the new list, even though they were there in the previous culture list and the draft healthcare new list. There have been demands from economic sectors and individual corporations such as jewelry, basic education, popular history, etc., to be included on the list. There have been attempts by applicants who submit fraudulent documents such as the RAPA evaluation certificate, professional voice confirmation data and membership certificate, and the need for online verification. The government and the South African Qualifications Authority held the consultative workshop to engage professional voice and government departments, which was done last year in September, to conduct advocacy and awareness of the visa and further clarify their roles and their responsibilities. Other challenges include qualifications and experience required in some occupations not actually being cleared. For an example, we have a category called the corporate general manager. But depending on which professional body you talk to, some of them will have different interpretations of what is actually required in terms of experience for a person to be referred to as the corporate general manager. But then also, you also find in this way, there's a mismatch between the actual occupation and also the naming of a position in which the person the position that the person occupies. For example, you might find that the person is a qualified engineer, but when he is employed by a South African employer, getting the qualifications of an engineer, then he's appointed in the position that is referred to as a corporate general manager. And then there's following that district to say, should the person register with ECA, because then the person will be saying, even though I have the engineering qualification, I will not be practicing as an engineer, are you doing something else in the campus? And then also some of the occupations without professional bodies or occupations that really do not require any registration with any professional body. And then also we receive quite a lot of applications from people who do not find class, people who just want to have a physical skills visa because there are other people who see it as having requirements that are less for us as compared to other work visa. And then you also have your cross-cutting occupation, like I've already mentioned, where you find that the person has a certain qualification, but in terms of the position that they may hold with the particular employer, may not necessarily be practicing what they study. As already mentioned earlier this morning, the department has had one-on-one consultative meetings with ECSA to build and enhance the relationship as the demand requires. And then one of the other benefits that has come out of this collaboration is that ECSA has offered the DHA free access to online verification systems. Basically what happens is that if a person applies for any type of work visa, our processes require that any supporting document that is attached to the application needs to be verified. For example, if we require a police clearance, a police clearance certificate will need to verify the certificate of police services, whether that is the document attached is authentic, is not fraudulent, and so forth. If the person has attached a certificate that evaluates their qualification, we have to check with staff before we issue a visa whether the documents that are attached are authentic. Now, the same thing also applies to the extra document. If the person submits an extra certificate that is that extra has evaluated them and support their application, we have to do a verification of that document. Now, previously, what we would then do is that we would call somebody and ask an extra that they would need to check for us whether that document is authentic and so forth. And sometimes with people's business cases, the person that you normally verify with might not be there and might result in the delay on the application being finalized and so forth. And then we agreed with after that they would give us an online verification service for which then our officials and home office will then be able to access their system, maybe punching the reference number that is on the certificate, and then the system will give us a feedback whether that document is authentic or not. Fraudulent extra membership certificates have been discovered since we started this process, during the application process, and every time we discover that a fraudulent document has been attached to the document and to an application, the immigration act requires that such an application needs to be referred to our central law enforcement, which is our inspectorate, so that then they will be investigated that case there. And then also, we inform the stakeholder, in this case, ECSA, the institution whose document has been forged. We also inform them as well so that they receive the necessary step against the particular person that submitted the document. And as already mentioned, with those occupations that I showed at the beginning of the slide, some engineering occupations do not fall within extra funding and as a result cannot be registered by this professional board. And extra has promised that they will assist in data collection regarding the trends and the field demand and supply in the engineering sector in order to inform the refinement of the list. The list that we now have, in terms of the regulations are saying that the Minister of Home Affairs may revise the critical field list from time to time. So at any point in time where it becomes clear that maybe there are certain occupations that should not be on the list, the Minister may decide that maybe that the list should be reviewed and certain occupations be removed. And if maybe then there's a need also, and there's evidence that they are searching critical skills that should be on the list and are not on the list, Minister may also review the list to add such fields or occupations on the critical skills list. Now, as part of also attracting the critical skills, critically skilled individuals to the Republic, we have put also the critical skills with the provision that the critical skills where visa holders are entitled to apply for permanent residence training, obviously adhering to the CRP conditions as required, CRP being your permanent residence. This also came out of the conversations that we had, especially since during the period of the drafting of the critical field list. That was also around the time when I think Sanofi was also being for the SKA project and so on. And there was that capital between South Africa and Australia in terms of attracting people that would work on both projects. And we know that for Australia at some point was offering some of these digitally skilled technicians and specialists and direct money residents so that they would choose Australia over South Africa in terms of deciding which projects they would rather work for. So the critical skills list also in position to offer people a permanent residence. And then there is one that I've mentioned, applicants without employment are issued a 12-month critical skills work visa to seek employment in the Republic. And then applicants with an employment contract also, as I mentioned earlier, will then get a critical skills visa not exceeding 5 years. And then we also have post-doctoral skills which fall under your session. And then also we have students that can apply without leaving the Republic for critical skills work visas provided they do not have obligations on their countries of origin. For instance, on the critical skills list we have, which is not necessarily an obligation, but it's a category that we have put there. We have said that we would issue a critical skills work visa to PhD students, foreign PhD students that are studying in South Africa, provided that as part of their studies in South Africa, there is no obligation for them to return back home, taking into consideration that some of them are in South Africa on batteries that are sponsored by their government and so forth, and as part of the condition of studying in South Africa, some of them are required to go and plow back into their country. But then also find students who are self-financed or who are financed by their parents who are studying for PhD. And then we have said that it will be to the benefit of South Africa, obviously, then to accept such academics and graduates to South Africa. And then what we have also done is that the dependents of the critical skills work with applicants and holders benefit as they are allowed to accompany applicants and are issued with relevant visas that do not exceed saturation of a main applicant visa. Maybe just to give context for this one, previously with the quota work permit, for instance, if an applicant receives a quota work permit to come and work in South Africa, their spouse will then come to South Africa and accompany them, but would then not be allowed to work. And they would only be allowed to come here as a visitor accompanying somebody who has a culture with family. This presented quite a number of problems because you find that in most cases some of these well-qualified critical skills persons also have spouses that are critical skills themselves. We had at the beginning of the SKA one of the researchers who had received employment on the SKA but wanted to bring their partner with. But now the partner wanted to apply for a general work visa. And the general work visa in terms of the requirement required that South Africans must complete an in-touch job fair before the foreigner can be granted that visa. And as a result of that onerous requirement, that the main person that we had actually issued with the critical skills work visa ended up not coming to South Africa because he said that if my wife cannot, because the wife who had received the critical skills visa And she said that because we could not accommodate the house there, then she would rather leave and go to another country. So what we then did in terms of the critical skills is that we then said that as part of the critical skills is that if the husband is also qualified and as well, or the husband or spouse or the wife has also received an offer of employment, then they would then be able to or be allowed to work in South Africa. Where to be, at least 2 weeks will be reduced, like I've already mentioned, when there's a need to do so. Governance departments are heavily involved, particularly the DHT. And then DHT continues to need further input from all the other economic sectors, higher learning institutions, labor organizations, public, etc. And the professional bodies, the support from the professional bodies has been really phenomenal, especially ECRA and also the ones from the Department of Health. And the universities are also engaged to assist with matching the occupations with their relevant degrees or qualification. And the other area that still needs much development is the skills transfer. To say that while we may be attracting physically skilled persons to the Republic of South Africa, in order not to continue the dependency on foreign workforce, what is it that should be done to ensure that the skills that the foreigners have are transferred to South Africa? And then there's conversations among the industries and the higher education institutions on the skill gaps, the demand and the supply that needs to take place. The department will prioritize research is offering foreign students with specific master's and PhD qualifications attended South African universities right to apply for peer status. This will be directed at retention of the intellectual investment and promoting re-investment of knowledge and expertise back into the South African economy. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, to get back to the end of your to the end of it, and the problem that they encountered, Mr. Bella spoke to me to the first part, we are encountering more and more engineers and non-engineers doing non-engineering work. The financial sector are employing engineers, basically, because of the problem solving. They use them in critical positions within their organization. Then the argument comes up, they apply for critical skills as engineers, and if they do, why do they need to be accredited by ECHA because they will not be doing any engineering work? Then that dilemma, of course, comes up. But more and more engineers are being utilized in a non-engineering field. Thank you.
Now, thank you very much, honorable members. We have heard the presentation of the department, but I think it's from my side, there's only two things that are really critical of me. I really did not know this. I'm hearing it for the first time. Probably maybe some of you may be knowing. This issue of the 12-month critical thing is, to me, is a problem. I don't know this when the decision was here, but this is a problem. From my side, one, you can't guarantee skills transfer because just a person just pitch up. You stay happy and then go and move forward. And when that person has got that particular critical skills visa, you don't know what that person is doing for 12 months. You know, nobody knows what he's doing and where to find him. The third thing is, who is that person? How is that person living in front of you? He's not waiting, he's not employed, he's just living in the region and in the hands. The return is a skill thing that you bring in. You don't know where he stays, how he pays rent, how he eats overnight, we just don't know. The third thing is, just add to unemployment in the country. Just add another individual who will claim be unemployed directly right from the beginning. And I didn't have a problem with that one, Mr. K. I really don't know how he has come about with that kind of decision, because the understanding was that there will be work that requires a critical field which is not available in the country at that time. You have the test was you are high, and then you prove that you do not have responses or approving responses, and then now you want to go outside and get that. That's what it said. That the people that come in comes as for employment. And we have sold in South Africa, we did not find one. But now this government thing undermines that. It undermines that sense. In other ways, is that we can have 100 people that are refugees, that is their skills are on that list, not employed. You'll give the physical skills a visa tomorrow. And then you will help unemployed foreigners in the country. Straight away. And then after 6 months, they realize they don't get an appropriate job. Then they open a small little company. That's very cheap. Then the interpreter, then she saw the thing. And register the small little company. Then you can't tell a person to go. I think it just creates a problem. I don't know whether we have eventually talked to that. Because even a year visit, when it comes to the country, we do want to check whether that person for the needs of somebody deserves the country or that particular thing. But while this one was put, what is there? I don't know, but I think one of the members would indicate to me. The other thing that we just wanted to check as well was the question of setting a terms of reference. Is that when you've got a critical skill that comes in, and then we expect that there must be a skills transfer, whether the company that submitted an application to bring in a particular skill, whether Home Affairs has got an engagement with that company to ensure a skill transfer. If it is not done by US Home Affairs, who does it? Because there is nobody that actually make contact with the company that requires this particular person. It's only Home Affairs. Extra just to verify that actually at the last end, when the company now has actually said, I need this person, and then they verify the qualification part. Now, for the person who comes to that company and get a visa, who sends the letter of reference relation to the person? Is it Home Affairs? If it's not Home Affairs, who is doing that? And then, because if it's not done, it's not insured, then you can have people coming in here 5 years and get out, but we still don't have that skill when that person goes in. We still not have that skill. And honorable members, I think it can be due to this particular presentation. Okay. Can you?
Thank you for the presentation. My first question is on the issue of challenge for me. I think that's great. On the challenge that comes to self-determination education and high demand, that is also a task in East. Now, that's why I'm not quite clear with that. So this class is in the head hand to make this for new engage or engage in different education trade. How is this compiled? And also for recruitment purposes of more students. Is there no need for publishing the application that is to allow public comment? Then on this page 7, which is, I don't know, I don't know about the red, the red, which I don't understand how which are those that I have talked to, red that are currently classified under the engine, and those that are not. And you said that you must know to that the screen is red.
I'm sure with the other page, those ones that are still white.
Or those that are still white.
Yeah, those that are looks whitish.
Those that are white. Those are those that are white. Okay. I think it's a good back into the next long term year. On page 11, I think we'll 3 and 4, both 22, leading to challenge. Exclusion of occupation. I'm worried about this exclusion of methods by the theater on the new list. Even though they were there in the botanic center. Now the problem is that why are they today? Because of exclusion. Because if you know that in South Africa, we are very much in need of these things because engineering depends on this on method and science. So also, why is basic education also not included there? Only has been involved to my understanding. If this level that can improve the capacity of students of South Africa to push the eggs, they are going to go engineering. No, you find that our people say that, oh, engineering is so low, it's too heavy for me. That's why they always say our kids, they don't like the engineering, some of them, because they say that the cost of their basic education. So they don't cope when they go to the area. And you always see them now when they ask great questions. They always go back to say, that's why we improve messages because I want to get engineering care. So that's why I'm asking you, what is now the cost of institutions? It is very critical and subject.
of the safety of the people of South Africa.
God bless me as a person. Okay, let's talk about that attention.
Thank you very much. Separate from the cast team, but I think we need to, as a community, separate the two, because people will need to ask that again. If you should see any of the cast team, you see, whether you see this is a critical skill, because they need the staff people immediately, and then if the season passes, then you will have the damage something like that. But I think it's the critical should be part of the communication and should be linked to separate the two. Because I see all along we are talking at this, we are talking about this.
I think the definition, if we have the movie agenda, is saying critical skills is also critical to the improvement of the economy. Without which strategic project and work could not be undertaken. Then also these high level skills that will enhance the skills pool in the economy, which in turn will encourage and potentially accelerate growth in the economy. That's how we define critical skills. But then on one side, when you read this definition, you are not saying it's scarcity. You are not saying it's scarcity. But then you have to willingly and easily just give them to that level. Because if you are not saying it's a skill, that means to say you have these people. They may not be readily available in the country at any particular given time. But for them to be available myself by advertising. But then now you just then they feel that it is scarcity. And we don't have to give this out there then to come. That's my little answer. What I've seen from them. And then now, the question is now, there is an undermining the population rate. Because that visa, you tell us that it gives the person an expectation and a right to apply for a permanent resident visa. You see, you say that person now can find himself voting with me, taking decisions in which country. So, that's why I think it is an issue of problem, and then whether it is correct to raise a particular issue to differentiate between critical skills and skills. The test skill then behaves is not there, at none. Then everybody will understand when you put it from outside to come in, because we don't have it, then it's work to be done. But then if you just willing to do that, Honorable Johnson? And then you raise the food and but what you raise that is then
I'm fine.
If there is anything to raise, honorable chair.
Thank you, Chair. I've had a recommendation to be reminded of about the wheelchair.
Yeah.
In my previous life, we've been dealing with this issue. Yeah. It is something that we should follow it up with the agriculture department, agriculture comments. To an extent, we committed with the industry that they were going to be given for the very last time an opportunity for them to apply as an entity, in other words, the Cape Wool Woman, which was Cape Wool Model, and also KD. Because what came out of the funders was that each farmer applied for each wool share. Coming to the country. But the North, we had reason to attempt to combine all the respective departments. But they were given a period of 5 years. language to train and do all what it takes. They will touch us, South Africa. That skill, we train it and we have it, we find it. We make it all in South Africa. Not having to locate them from the social earth who they've indicated before. It is something that we support us up with the agricultural points. Yeah, so how far is the industry go, the national will grow.
Okay, anyone to read this? You are comfortable. Can you help us with one on this
particular issue? Thank you very much, Chairperson. Myself and Mr. Mbele will deal with or attempt to answer some of these questions. But Chairperson, to start with your, the issue that you raised, I think what we need to do is firstly get to the list and get to what we are trying to do, because that's where the genesis is. This is where it starts. We are saying we have a critical skill list as per the definition there. And also these skills might not be scarce, but they are critical. And it might be that there is not, because of the projects that are running in South Africa, we might not have enough of these skilled people to actually do this. We do people in it. And we have welders, we have boilers, but the extent of the infrastructure projects that we are running, we don't have enough to go around. We, in our, in coming up with this list, we all those on the, on page 11, I think, we have a process that we engaged and different stakeholders we engaged. Business tells us, all of those stakeholders are clear that these are highly mobile people that you would want in your country, because we even have South African oil majors, welders, engineers that leave South Africa to go work in other countries and not necessarily in South Africa. So what we get from our consultation is that you are dealing with a highly mobile a group of people with particular skills that you require, and it is important that you are able to retain that skill. So we deal with a particular portion of it. We deal, as Homer says, we deal with foreign components. So there should also be, I don't know who's the responsible for that, but for local South Africans in these locations, there should also be a retention strategy to make sure that these South Africans do not leave South Africa for other countries to go and work there on projects. So we are talking here, so if we are talking about the skills list, we are then talking about people that are highly skilled, that are highly mobile, that go where they are required at any time, and we would need to make South Africa attractive for them to be in South Africa. That is why the initiatives, for instance, that we will give you, even we require your skills, there is a shortage of it in South Africa in terms of the projects that we are running. We would like you to come to South Africa, and we will, you will get into South Africa, we will allow you to come into South Africa, look for an appropriate project or company to work for 12 months, that's the maximum. And whilst you are doing that, you would need to prove to us that you are able to sustain yourself for us here in the country. So there are financial guarantees that these individuals should give, so that give to us to say that they are able to sustain themselves. Now that comes out of discussions with the industry, discussions with the relevant departments, statutory bodies in terms of what type of person are we having here that we would like to retain. In first, we make it attractive to come into South Africa and be able to sell their skills in South Africa. And also to have what we call in our definition pool skilled people that are able to do the So, Chairperson, to be able to agree that we needed to come up with initiatives to be able to attract one and also to retain such a skill in South Africa. The skills transfer, it is the responsibility of the Department of Labor to be able to deal with the issue of skills transfer at the workplace. So that everywhere we have a foreigner that is employed, there is a commitment of skills transfer, and it is being monitored by the Department of Labor to see that that actually happens. And so maybe in terms, to come back to the issue that you raised in terms of whether such people, what we are tending to try and retain the skills, we might want to revisit, and this is a learning document, it's one that is reviewable. We might want to go back to our critical skills list and say, is this list comprehensive, or are there locations on this list that should not be? There's enough engineers in South Africa that are able to do this, there's enough of this location and that location, so there needs to be a relook at our skills list, which we review it every 24 months, but it can be done in a shorter time should it be required. And indeed, we do publish this list for public comment in the letter, so we might want to go and relook this list and have workshops again to be sure that the people that we're actually giving these concessions to, getting into the country to retain, are really the people that is required by our industry and for the economic development. And that is able to satisfy the goals of the national development. On the issue of the exclusion of maths and science teachers, indeed, honorable member, that is why we have put it as a challenge, saying that there are these lists, that the list at the Department of Higher Education. There's the list that we are responsible with DGI, which is this list, the critical skills list. So there needs to be a convergence somewhere where we would say that should there be one list that talks to education, and should there not be, now the one that the Department of Higher Education talks to is a list where they are saying that it is in these locations that we need to see that we train South Africans. So they are saying that these are scarce vocations, and that if we don't, we now need to get South Africans and train them in these vocations so that we have enough South Africans in those particular vocations. So, but there is a need for us to synchronize, to sit down and synchronize our list, because indeed we do have a shortage of math and science teachers. They might not be critical directly to projects that are there, but they are critical in seeing that we are able to grow our own timber, to be able to do that in future. So we would need, I think, to have a look at the list again and really be dealing with all the stakeholders to see that we have been corrected. Honorable Nakuti, the issue of the problem of using that as an example, that indeed, we still require of them to give us. We still say we have a problem, but there is the complaint from them, saying that from the financial sector, for instance, they will complain to the Department of Home Affairs and say, but we have people here, why do they need to get the extra certification while they are not actually in the field of engineering pure? They are in another field, and that's the feedback we get from our clients in terms of some of the requirements that they are having, and they are asking, can we be flexible around these particular issues, for instance? And in having these lists, is there a need for flexibility? Should there be flexibility when it comes to regulating an area? It needs very little room for maneuver or flexibility. And it is something that we need to keep on engaging stakeholders to find out how flexible can we be in a particular area.
I think I've done it. You've actually had some better out. But still, my wishes still remain. The purity of our population. have tracing mechanism what is the industry in the country. Now I raise the scenario, it may be more than one scenario that will arise. That person over the 12 months may decide to fraudulently marry a South African. And then it is not COVID anymore. Or one, he came as an engineer. You reckon that the critical, the issues are here. Since the country has got nowhere, and no project that they need an engineer at a particular time. Then he decides to open a shop where he's selling electronic equipment. And in the first 3 months, from July to August or September, he sees that he's making more money. Then he decides no longer to go back to engineering. But he came to the thinking of engineering. He, what do you do? So the many good intentions, you know, is from your side to give the 12 months after. But there is a bigger scope of that issue to go out there. And you will never have the cost. You will never have the cost. And then, like everything, is that the presentation of EXA, it tells you of 52% of unregistered engineers around, 10% of those that are lying around. And again, that without those ones, you do have qualified electricians, qualified engineers. I'm not necessarily professional, because they are not employed, they are on the street, they are waiting for experiential training, for mentorship, and all that for them to be professional. They are out there. Then you bring a person that is similar to them. They come and join them on the street. And you officially say, join them on the street. Because there's no proof of anyway. That's why I was trying to explain that our understanding was that we will make our system easier to acquire this critical skill as and when it is required. When they come out and say we need this particular engineer, and then they show you the advertisement that the department has in the past 3 months, and then they say, now we have got this particular person from Japan, then the system must allow that. That person is to come. He's without this interest, he's present family. But now this one of the best ones are still listening. He just got no test. He just got no test. The test is the qualification in the end. That's all. Because it is only this. Of critical skills, because appears on that list, then it's forgotten that that person will find himself in South Africa. Why is he in South Africa? Then there's all those sorts of things that will happen. You won't be able to manage that person, you won't be able to support that person. You just don't have the capacity to support them, because you've got no interest for it. You can't go to this person. And then until at the end, whether that 12 months, when it elapses as well, only God knows that that person will go there. You know that we are limited on that end as well. To say, Mr. So-and-so, your visa has expired, you don't come there and tell us that we are employed. We don't have that capacity. We'll just rely on the when the person walks back to our office. You see. So that is the issue that I'm not raising, that it needs to be removed. Especially the elements that is what the capacity of changing our population. Therefore, it can't be so easy to be given up. There must be a stringent measure. But those measures must be simple if the person compiled that person is required in the country for a particular way, and then that person then should be easily required. But not to just simply open up from the top. Then you must now start managing people. Where is this person? What is he doing? And where is he doing what? Then you must have good capacity to do that. So that those that 12 months elapsed to the professional, then you must ask them to go through the door. We have no capacity in both at the moment. We really don't have that. And then the other issue is the flexibility you are talking about. If we go that route, we will create another problem. From my side, But if they put Prima to say he's an engineer, they will get it as an expert. Otherwise, it is a short card of some sort of bypassing, as the fact of using the qualifications and, of engineering to go somewhere else. I think, Honorable Mark, I think we heard it, and I hope that you would go back and look at this thing. And I think what else is, we must put in the minutes, and we need to get up now. We must get a list of those that have been given it. This visa on the basis of 12 months. How many up to now? And if you know their addresses, where are they? Because they should give a physical address. And we really need to monitor them. But if we can just get that database and check whether they are not involved in other things. Because I mean, if they are not working, they must be, but they must see themselves. They'll use all sorts of things around. And everything that they're doing now, being unemployed, harassed, and beaten in the country, nobody knows the chance. And then if you can be affected in that particular issue, and then and see and the small report of what are they doing, where they are. Unfortunately, it is that if there is anyone that has been given that a 12 month requires, then you've got all the right circumstances that a 12 month is required, you are not waiting. You are not doing what you said, you come here to do. Can you please close the door from one side? Yes. Thank you very much, and honorable members, I think we have come to the end of our very long meeting, but I hope that it has empowered us in one way or another. And I think we will continue this discussion and this debate. It is very discussion, because the experts make the country to be on the tipping point in terms of unemployment, in terms of poverty and all that. And so we continue this very discussion. Thank you very much. You are I love this. I'm called.
I'm calling. I'm calling.
Yeah,